Hi and welcome to our service this Sunday from the Western Heights Uniting Church. We are a church who are committed to loving God, in partnering community, in growing together, and in sharing faith. And we hope that we do all those things today. We're in the season of creation, and that's going to be our theme today. We'd like to understand that we are a church who welcome everybody, regardless of their age, their nationality, their ethnicity, their faith, their sexuality. People are welcome in this place because God loves you. We acknowledge that we meet together on the land of the Wadawurrung, the custodians of this country, the custodians of country here. And we acknowledge and pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. We hope that you're blessed by this time with us. We light a candle to remind ourselves that Christ is the light of the world. Our theme sits today around the verses of the scripture, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him wouldn't perish but have eternal life. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. We pray it never will. Enjoy your worship with us today.
Thank you. this is the season of creation. And this morning, I want to think about that most famous verse in John's Gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. It bothers me immensely that much of my early Christian instruction and so much that I've encountered along the way focuses on the object of faith as being almost intensely on personal salvation, the idea of knowing that when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. Now, that great verse in John's Gospel, John 3:16, and the following verse, 3:17, are drawn into the service of that focus that faith is primarily about my personal salvation. And pretty much that's it. Okay, I'm going to be a nicer and kinder person because of my relationship with Christ, and hopefully more moral. But it's so often primarily focused on personal salvation, almost as though that's the sum of what discipleship is about. And I want to suggest today that salvation is much bigger than this, much bigger. And that when it reads that God so loved the world, that's exactly what it means. That God so loved the world. And our part in the purposes of God is not just for our personal salvation, but about being enlisted and covenanted with Christ in his great purpose of saving the world. John writes that God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. Have you ever noticed the strength of that fourfold iteration of the world? God so loved the world. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. We read that, and because of our conditioning and our preconceptions, we think people. But it doesn't say people. It says the world. I believe that the call to follow Christ is to be enlisted in God's great aim to save the world. Not just people. The world. And of course we're a part of the world. And probably the most problematic part of it, if you look at it and think about it. Because when we lose our focus, when we stop being in the image of God, the role that's given to us in creation, if we cease to be in God's creative, life-giving image and have drifted into self-serving, self-focused parodies of what we were created for, with all of the power and ability that we are given because of our intellect and our dexterity and our imagination, then the world is in deep trouble. St. John wrote, the light has come into the world, into the darkness, and people have loved darkness more than light. I mean, it's a very seductive thing to be invited to look after yourself and to grow ever more sure of personal gain and security and comfort. But God gave people a role in creation, a primary role, to look after it, to be stewards of it for God. And if we're doing it utterly wrongly, then all of creation is going to suffer terribly because we're primary. And we're meant to be primary. And if that's wrong, then everything's going to be wrong. I suspect that the greatest irony is that the Christian gospel has in many places and times been drawn into precisely the very self-serving ideology that is at the heart of the problem. People have sometimes made the gospel message exclusively self-centered, about me and my salvation. And the rest of the world that God has created suffers because the faith message has perpetuated the very self-centeredness that's at the heart of the problem and made it holy. The way I understand it is that my faith enlists me in the greatest cause there is. And to call humanity back to living as God's stewards of grace, mercy, love, creativity for all the world that God so loves. John puts it so dramatically and starkly. He is the creative word of God that was there at the beginning in creation. Remember, the words of John are exactly the words that has started at the beginning of Genesis when God created the heavens and the earth. He is the word through whom all things were made. And God pronounces what he's made to be very good. And if we're in Christ, we are being recreated in his image, step by step, moment by moment, the image of God's creative word. John opens up his gospel by placing it right at the heart of the creation story. And listen to St. Paul's words. He picks up that theme I was referring to last week. Christ being the very image of God and us being remade in the Creator's image as we are in him and he in us. St. Paul writes to the church in Colossae. Listen to these words. Since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power. May you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He's rescued us from the power of darkness. God said, let there be light. And transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. The light shines in the dark. Let there be light, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, you might be forgiven for thinking, reading this in the context of a concentration on personal salvation, that this is what it's talking about. But that isn't the context that St. Paul puts these words into. His context is creation, the Creator God, and all things, not just people's salvation. Listen now to the verses that follow immediately after those verses, and listen to the context that Paul puts those verses in. He writes, Christ is the image of the invisible God. Remember the creation story? Make people in our image, male and female, he created them in the image of God. Christ is in the perfect image of God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in all things. For in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. You see, what Paul's saying is the image of the invisible God, firstborn of all creation. In him, all things are created, in him and for him. In him, all things hold together, and he is the head of the church. All things hold together, and he is the head of the church. Through him, God was pleased to reconcile to God's self all things in earth and on heaven. Genesis passage says this is the beginning of the creation of the heavens and the earth, making peace through the blood of his cross. Remember Paul's words in the letter to the Roman Christians. God's invisible nature, his eternal power and deity are clearly seen in the things he has made. Remember John's words, all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. He came into the world that through him the world, the cosmos, might be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Our world suffers because in antithesis to the gospel, the world is seen as being here to serve us, and that as an absolute contradiction and inversion of the whole gospel story. The scriptures challenge us with a different paradigm. We are here to serve God in looking after this world. Our faith shunts us out of a self-centered focus of what can I get and plunges us into the life of the self-giving Christ who is here for the world. When we understand our faith in that way, we move from being plunderers to caretakers of this world that God has given to us, that Christ has given to us. And that's an amazing gift. That's an amazing privilege to be given the role of caretaker of God's amazing, stupendous creation. We move back into the image of God. We move back into the very heart of God's creative self, given at creation our true destiny. And we need to recover it in the Christian church for the sake of the world. Now, I did a funeral on Thursday for a lady who had been for 14 years secretary of this church, or of one of the churches that was amalgamated with others to form this church. As we were telling her story, and the family who loved her so much were there, remembering, and a former minister to whom she'd been the secretary was there remembering, I felt an amazing sense of privilege to be there and holding that story out there for everyone. I felt a tremendous privilege, and I was blessed in that privilege of being given that stewardship role. I was blessed by the trust. We have been given a magnificent and sacred responsibility by God to be stewards of this earth in his image, in the image of Christ, who is the creative word of God, the image of the Creator. This is the image of God shown to us in Christ. And we're called to live and become that image. And we will be blessed in taking up that role, that trust. In this season of creation, we need to look again at the witness of the scriptures. We need to be jolted out of the egocentrism of some of Christianity. that has said that it's all there for us. And not just look, but see. And if we're on a crusade to call people to Christ's way, to the way of the one who said, let there be light, and set in motion the work of creation, then the world might be saved by the gospel message. If we can draw our world out of the illusion that it's all about getting, all about exploiting, all about treating everything as though it's a prize to be plundered. It's not there just for us. If we can draw our world into the compassion of Christ for creation, all things, the world might be saved, and so might we in the process. Now, it was a bit of a revelation to me in my theological training about 40 years ago to discover that the word that we translate healing and the word that we translate salvation, the Greek words, were synonyms for each other, healing and salvation. They were synonyms. When we talk about saving, we are talking about healing. When we talk about healing, we are talking about saving. When we talk about healing, we are implying God's salvation. This is the season of creation. I want to be a part of God's gift of Jesus, who has come that the world might be saved and not condemned, that it might be saved and healed, that it might be healed and saved. I want to be a part of that. And I want to find myself being made into the image of Christ, because in him I might find myself as I was made to be, in the image of Christ, the image of God with you. And we pray for our world. God, we pray for our world. We see extinctions at 100 times the rate that they normally occur. And they're happening at that rate because of us people. We've inverted the world from being something you've given us to be stewards of, to something we think is there just for us and for us alone. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. We pray for our world. For people who save their water, for people who save the animals in their backyard, for people who go out and chain themselves to hollowed out trees so that cockatoos can have nests. We pray for people who write letters. We pray for people who love the world like you do and want to share in your image. We pray for this season of creation. We pray for our church, that it might move beyond, not this church, but the Christian church, that it might grasp its heaven-given responsibility for us to again pick up the image of God that we were given at creation, to look after the world, to be stewards of it, masters of it, to you, for you, in your image. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.